carefully.
Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. Once again, here as we come to you live on the Global Star Radio Network, Tuesday, June 18th, Elizabeth Cupid Carefully and I each have two opening emergency alerts. I have two WW3 article alerts. Elizabeth has the Starving Us All agenda to report on. But before those articles and our program continuing the themes of Murder Incorporated activities and June Pride Month, Elizabeth has perhaps the most important radio monologue ever.
Last American Man Standing, June 18th, 2023. The big question is, will that man be your present 10-year-old son drafted in 2032? This is assuming the U.S. is not totally devastated by nuclear war by then. Will the then 20-year-old young man be forced to fight in the globalist war profiteer's latest quagmire, Ukraine war? Doc Burkhart posed this question on air to True News' Rick Wiles Wednesday, June 12th. This year, as we approach our momentous 249th July 4th, Independence Day, cancel culture seems to have hit big time. Hearst's magazine, Good Housekeeping, usually had a cover featuring the July 4th theme, with things like picnic tables laden with strawberry, blueberry flag cakes. Instead, this July 4th, it has an ominous black cover with two turquoise containers holding Ice, Ice Baby, and one filled with more ice dubbed a Blue Wave Mocktail. At least the magazine was not promoting alcohol to further deaden and drain the bodies and minds of hapless, brainwashed American citizens. NATO drawing up plans to deploy American soldiers to the front line to potentially fight Russia in an all-out war is the incredible headline from the Gateway pundit, Cullen Linebarger, June 4th. This cynical, quote, advanced preparation, end of quote, for major war escalation is beyond shocking. As Lou Caverly comments, this is not defensive prep, but truly going on the offensive. Linebarger states, quote, new land corridors are being carved out to quickly funnel soldiers through Central Europe without local bureaucratic impediments, allowing NATO forces to pounce in an instant. What are local bureaucratic impediments? Why, they are the rule of law and the will of the local inhabitants. Both equally aghast at the New World Order barbarians' desire to invade, more implacable than that of any Mongol of the Middle Ages. If successful, this will be Afghanistan killing machine redux. In case of Russian bombardment, these envisioned, quote, corridors in Italy, France, and Turkey would let troops move into the Balkans, and via Scandinavia, they could ambulate towards the northern border of Russia. Linebarger reveals the plans are said to include contingencies in case of Russian bombardment. Letting troops sweep into the Balkans via corridors in Italy, Greece, and Turkey, or towards Russia's northern border via Scandinavia. The plans under development show that American soldiers would land at one of the five ports across the European continent. Four would allow access to Ukraine's western border, while a fifth would reach Russia's border via Finland. Reports from last year have indicated that the alliance could provide 300,000 troops at high readiness in the event of a war with Russia. Since the United States bears up to 70% of the total defense spending of all the countries in the NATO alliance, one can be sure they will provide a majority of these forces. The ultimate goal of this developing scheme is to ensure that NATO forces can push through Europe without any unnecessary delays caused by local bureaucratic red tape and checkpoints, according to the Mail. Once again, it is emphasized that, quote, unnecessary delays following the rule of law and responding to sanity will play no part in impeding this relentless agenda. It is inconvenient to the elite to have people like Douglas MacGregor, retired U.S. Army colonel and former Secretary of Defense advisor, asking, what is NATO thinking? Apparently, MacGregor's long expertise and savoir-faire are irrelevant. For the Luciferian NATO New World Order killing machine agenda is the real purpose. Henry Kissinger once famously called American fighting men our soldiers, our prized, loved sons of the American heartland, dumb farm animals. They are, to the elite, mere, quote, cannon fodder. Now, with Joe Biden's, quote, democracies can deliver, G7 complicit $50 billion Ukraine deal using frozen Russian assets in a 10-year bilateral security agreement, war profiters' money, this is another war profiters' money bonanza, is assured. Boeing, Northrop Grumman, and so many others must be joyously clapping even as we get closer and closer to the year of the 10-year-old last American son to be killed senselessly. The new evil NATO war strategy validates former American General Smedley Butler's words, war is a racket. Butler was the general the global elite wanted to carry out a military coup against the White House in the 1930s. General Butler, a man standing tall among men, was just as heroic as Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. He refused to carry out the elite's treason on America. Joe Biden's democracies can deliver statement is a pious, lying platitude for the dumbing down more of Americans who still believe they live in a democracy, not a hallowed constitutional republic. My colleague, Luke Haverly, a JFK assassination researcher writer, points out that the varied men and agencies implicated in JFK's death certainly included the war profiteers. These nefarious men and organizations were far from content at the efforts JFK was instituting to pull us out of Vietnam. Mere days before his November 22, 1963 assassination, President Kennedy gave a very important speech alerting all Americans. To hear more of it quoted in an essential radio alert by Deborah Tavares of StopTheCrime.net. Again, StopTheCrime.net. Visit DividedKingdomRadio.com's archives. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com's archives for May 29th or June 6th. In that speech's summation, President John F. Kennedy said, quote, there's a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high and noble office, I intend to expose this plot. End of quote. Another U.S. president who tried to expose the war profiteering, quote, military-industrial complex, end of quote, in a famous speech, Dwight D. Eisenhower, also gave a lesser-known talk in 1962. Eisenhower and my, that is Elizabeth's, childhood family doctor had a common love of Hereford cattle. After retirement, Ike pursued this interest on his Gettysburg, Pennsylvania farm. Once, he and Mamie came to Dr. Joe Nisley's elegant, sprawling ranch home in Allenbank, Pennsylvania for lunch. The Nisley's house was located in the beautiful Allegheny Mountain region of Bedford County. My revered Sunday school teacher, Dr. Joe's wife, Fern, was Ike and Mamie's gracious hostess. The year of this visit may even have been 1962, the year in which Eisenhower made another warning to local Pennsylvania Republicans. Though Eisenhower was nominally a CFR, that is, Council on Foreign Relations member, we must believe that, quote, one world government, end of quote, treason, never entered Ike's mind as he fulfilled his World War II role as supreme commander of the Allied forces. If alive today, Eisenhower would not be planning to send American boys to the front lines of NATO's war in Russia. Read his long-ago words with careful discernment. Then embark on fervent daily prayer for God to foil war with Russia and nuclear war, world destruction. Speak and take action as God leads you. This premonitory warning, ever since I found it more than 10 years ago, has given me chills. It's as though Ike was calling out to all of us alive in the future at this very moment. Take heed. Speech of President Dwight D. Eisenhower at the Bedford Springs Hotel, September 26, 1962. He told the audience, quote, "You are fighting for your lives and for what you hold dear in the future of our Commonwealth. As soon as you realize it, I know you will do your very best, and your best will be good enough. Wars and campaigns are won by men who refused to be defeated. I wish to repeat those words, and I want you to engrave them into your deepest souls and hearts, listeners of the Divided Kingdom. And I want you to tell others about our program. It is growing a little. Tell them to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. This is life and death now that Lou and I are presiding over, one small radio program, along with the last standing patriots in America. And we know that the G7 people are a little alarmed at the populism rising worldwide. So do not stop praying. Again, here are the words of Dwight D. Eisenhower to those Republicans at that beautiful resort hotel, the Bedford Springs Hotel, in 1962, September 26th. You are fighting for your lives and for what you hold dear in the future of our Commonwealth. As soon as you realize it, I know you will do your very best, and your best will be good enough. Wars and campaigns are won by men who refuse to be defeated. And this is Elizabeth. That three-tiered salute that we got again and that we got upon getting our second night at WWCR, and again the repetition after Deborah Tavares's earth-breaking repeated interview. Those men, we think, are on the good side. There are men on the good side. There are men at the top who have the power to stop what those Russians in the subs off the Atlantic called out, "Your president is crazy. We don't want to nuke you. This must be stopped. This has to be stopped. God Almighty does not want nuclear war on the earth." So again, these words from Eisenhower's speech were contained in That Magical Bedford Springs Water. That was the name of the book, That Magical Bedford Springs Water, by John Bachman. That's capital B-A-U-G-H-M-A-N, and he is a Bedford historian and journalist. The copyright was 2011. Will we hearken to Eisenhower's words? Will we refuse to allow our young men and possibly women to be drafted into World War III? Where are the leading U.S. clergymen voices? The last standing patriots are holding firm. On the night of June 12th, broadcaster Hal Turner said he will never send his son into the NATO meat grinder. Quote, "This is the hill I die on," he declared. The people must stand up and say, "No, hell no." And it is hell on earth in Ukraine. Biden's, quote, "Democracy can deliver," will mean ultimately, if nuclear war is provoked, absolute hell for all earth's inhabitants.
And this is Lou. There is other important WW3 news. First, accenting what Elizabeth said in her radio monologue, we have news on the $50 billion deal. And then, next, news for both, and next, draft news. That's right, military draft news for both men and women. We begin with The Guardian. Joe Biden says democracies can deliver as G7 agree $50 billion Ukraine aid deal. This is on June 13th. Joe Biden claimed democracies can deliver as he announced the leaders of the G7 Western economies had finally reached an agreement that will mobilize an extra $50 billion, or 39 billion pounds in English monetary value, of aid to Ukraine using frozen Russian state assets. Speaking at the G7 summit in Puglia, Italy, on Thursday, Biden hailed the breakthrough as he met Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky and announced the two countries had signed a 10-year bilateral security agreement, ending 12 months of difficult negotiations. Quote, "We are putting our money to work for Ukraine and giving another reminder to Putin that we are not backing down," Biden said at a joint press conference with the Ukrainian leader. Next, from Fox News, House passes defense bill, automatically registering men ages 18 to 26 for draft. The Selective Service is already mandatory for male U.S. citizens aged 18 to 24. This was by Elizabeth Elkind of Fox News, published June 14th. The House of Representatives passed a measure on Friday automatically registering men ages 18 to 26 for Selective Service. It was a part of the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, which sets out the government's military and national security priorities over the next fiscal year. This year's NDAA authorizes $895.2 billion in military spending, a $9 billion increase from fiscal 2024. While it hasn't been invoked in over half a century, it's mandatory for all male U.S. citizens to register for the Selective Service, also known as the military draft, when they turn 18. Failure to register is classified as a felony and comes with a host of legal challenges. Then, from the Gateway Pundit, breaking, Senate Armed Services Committee proposes mandatory draft registration for women in FY25 defense policy bill, by Jim Hoft, June 15th. Under the latest National Defense Authorization Act, that is NDAA, not only will men ages 18 to 26 be automatically registered for Selective Service, but an amendment also proposes mandatory draft registration for women. And then we have from Great Game India, June 11th. Could Russia deploy ballistic missiles in Mexico? On Sunday, former U.S. Air Force officer Jake Brough reported on X that Russians on Kremlin state TV declared Mexico their military ally, considering placing missiles on Mexican territory to attack the United States. Quote, "Russians on Kremlin state TV yesterday declared that Mexico was their military ally and they are wanting to place their missiles on Mexican territory so Mexico can attack the United States," said former nuclear and missile operations officer of the U.S. Air Force, Jake Brough, writing on X Sunday. He said, "This is insane," unquote. A few days earlier, pundits on Russian media advised Moscow to station nuclear-capable ballistic missiles in the Caribbean in retaliation for NATO nations approving Kiev's use of weaponry sourced from the West to launch an attack within Russian territory. Is this insane enough to put it in danger, or would that be a normal response for any nation when hostile missiles are stationed directly next to its borders? The Kremlin State TV's 60 Minutes type program focused on NATO escalation, specifically about Kiev receiving an increasing amount of long-range weapons, including soon-to-arrive F-16 fighter jets, as well as in response to Western capitals seeming to now actively encourage increased attacks on Russian territory. The host of the program also questioned the legitimacy of the White House's imposition of limits on the extent to which U.S.-supplied weaponry may be deployed inside Russian territory. Speaking to ABC last week while in France, President Biden said that this does not imply that Ukraine may strike Moscow. In a monologue, host Evgeny Popov referred to comments by President Joe Biden that U.S. permission for Kiev to use weapons to hit Russia did not mean that they could be used to hit Moscow or any government buildings. Now, this is Lou Caravelli commenting. This stupid and vague denial Biden made about not hitting Moscow, and presumably the Kremlin itself, did not comfort or fool the Russians. They had some ideas of plans of their own. Olga Skabiva, co-anchor of the program, conjectured in the same segment that Moscow might position missiles, quote, to those nations that are willing to strike our enemies, unquote, as an, quote, unquote, asymmetric response. She went on to name other partners, including North Korea, Venezuela, and Cuba, adding that a, quote, more traditional, unquote, course of action would, quote, obviously be a nuclear strike as soon as we see an existential threat to our country.
And Lou, this is Elizabeth Cubitt-Caverly, your co-host. We interject right at this moment that we cannot forget the long-ago prophecy in the 1990s of Dmitry Dudeman, who had smuggled Bibles into Russia and had been caught and was being tortured by electric shock when the angel Gabriel came to him and said, you will not be killed, you will be protected because you have to go to America. You have to warn America that America will burn. And, of course, Dmitry Dudeman came to America, and he was interviewed by the Prophecy Club, Stan Johnson. And in his prophecy, it says that when the civil uprising begins against the government, then the attackers will come on America. They will invade. And who were some of those countries he listed? Why, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and China. So this is uncomfortably similar to the countries that Dudeman mentioned. We're not saying that the prophecy will come true, but we are alerting you. There is grave danger. So what else did this Russian spokeswoman say, Lou?
She said, or this is summing up what she said, speaking recently at the St. Petersburg Annual Economic Forum, President Putin expressed optimism for a de-escalation with the West and stated that the time has not yet come to justify the use of nuclear weapons.
And Lou, again, this is Elizabeth, on an article about a week ago, we had a quote from Putin saying he would stop World War III. We pray to our Heavenly Father that that is a deep, earnest purpose of Putin, and that the summer drills in the Caribbean are an extreme alert, a warning, but not what he plans to call a harbinger of a real nuclear strike. We pray that somebody will hang on. Something will be better in November of this year when the election occurs. Go ahead, Lou.
Putin did, however, make a warning last week to provide cutting-edge weaponry to nations labeled as, quote, enemies of the West, unquote, in retribution for NATO's surge in Ukraine. Regarding Mexico, which just elected left-wing President Claudia Sheinbaum on a platform promising to uphold the policies of her predecessor, Obrador, the country has declared its formal neutrality while simultaneously rejecting support for U.S.-led sanctions against Moscow. And then we go to...
And before you do,
yes.
We wish to tell our listeners that this program is listener-supported. We do not get government money. We do not get their talking points. We're not affiliated with the CIA. We have no affiliations but Almighty God. And so we do need some help. Lou has had a lot of expenses getting a toner to run off materials, buying paper, paying for the phone, various things, that the phone that we use to get our articles on. So if any of you can help Lou, please send what you can to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. You notice we don't have incessant commercials. We don't want to waste another second because things are getting so grave. We care about the people of the world and in the United States. So, Lou, you're going next. More WW3 dominoes falling.
That's right. Now to WorldNet Daily. How close is Biden to instigating nuclear war? President says he's much more worried about global warming than WW3. By Richard Blakely. You didn't like that, did you?
No.
I don't blame you. This was published June 10th, again by Richard Blakely at WorldNet Daily. We have a quote from none other than Joe Biden. The only existential threat humanity faces, even things more frightening than nuclear war, is global warming, unquote. President Joe Biden insisted recently. In stark contrast, during a recent interview with Sean Hannity, former President Donald Trump stated, quote, the only global warming that matters to me is global nuclear warming. And Trump added, I love this country. I don't want to see this country get into a nuclear war and be so badly damaged. What we say won't matter. This won't matter. This place won't matter. Nothing will matter because practically nothing is going to be here anymore. The only global warming that matters to me is nuclear global warming, because that's the real deal, unquote. Many people believe Biden has been provoking Vladimir Putin ever since becoming president, especially by provoking the Russian invasion of Ukraine and then doing nothing but escalate the situation, with a variety of people now talking about U.S., quote, boots on the ground, unquote, in Ukraine. Last October, when Russia stated it was considering revoking a nuclear test ban, instead of communicating with Russia, Biden decided to break the treaty and explode a nuclear device underground. The very next month, Russia responded by withdrawing from the nuclear test ban treaty ratified in the year 2000. This has caused concerns about a new nuclear arms race with Russia. Biden's latest and greatest debacle in escalating warfare is to tell Ukraine it can use U.S. armaments to attack sites inside Russia. Germany followed suit. In response, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov said, quote, the United States could face fatal consequences, that's in quotes, fatal consequences for allowing Ukraine to use American weapons to target or to strike targets in Russia. Furthermore, he stated, I would like to warn American leaders against miscalculations that could have fatal consequences. For unknown reasons, they underestimate the seriousness of the rebuff they may receive, Rybakov added. He went on, I am urging these officials who seemingly are not bothered by anything to take some time away from playing computer games, which is apparently what they are doing, given their lighthearted approach to serious issues, and take a closer look at what Putin said, especially at a press conference following talks in Tashkent, unquote. So what did Putin say? He warned, quote, this constant escalation can lead to serious consequences. If these serious consequences occur in Europe, how will the United States behave, bearing in mind our parity in the field of strategic weapons? It is hard to say. Do they want a global conflict? Representatives of countries that are NATO members, particularly in Europe, should be aware of what they are playing with. And Putin went on to warn countries with small territory and dense populations should be especially careful. Russia has already stated that, quote, the use of long-range weapons to strike Russia would rely on Western intelligence data, unquote, implying NATO military personnel are involved. Likewise, the Kremlin has also said it knows Poland has already allowed Ukraine to attack Russia with weapons from that nation. In a TASS news agency report published last week, Russian Security Council Deputy Chairman Dmitry Medvedev stated that Russia can supply weapons to any U.S. enemy, the same way Washington does with Ukraine. Quote, this marks quite a significant change in our foreign policy. This is what the Yankees and their drooling European dogs think. We have the right to send any weapons to Ukraine. The enemy of our country, that is Russia, but no country can help Russia. Now let the U.S. and its allies feel the direct impact of the use of Russian weapons by third parties. If the U.S. is their enemy, then they are our friends, unquote. To whom would Putin give arms? Iran? Cuba? Would these countries hit America with a nuclear device? What if Iran hit Washington, D.C. with a nuclear device? Or New York? Or both? Would the U.S. respond by striking Iran? Would the U.S. strike Russia? These are real concerns. Biden responded by launching two Minuteman III ICBM training launches in 1 week, June 4th and June 6th. Russia has responded with target drill seaborne missile strikes by their Baltic fleet. And now Russia is sending Russian warships to the Caribbean Sea for drills.
Lou, this is Elizabeth. This upping of the provocation is beyond childishness.
Yes,
childish
it is.
Games with the lives of all the inhabitants of Earth.
You are so right.
Pick up that story.
Obviously, Trump's concerns about nuclear war, global warming, far outweigh Biden's total obsession with an immeasurable 1.5 degrees Celsius temperature increase in the Earth. In 3.5 years, Biden has taken America backwards to another 1979 Iran hostage scenario, except this time with Hamas holding U.S. citizens and other hostage, and others hostage, and has taken us backwards to another 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, with Russia doing military exercises in the Caribbean and threatening to give nuclear weapons to U.S. enemies. Instead of recreating crises, presidents are called to learn from history. As President John F. Kennedy said on June 11, 1963, quote, we all inhabit the small planet, we all cherish our children's future, and we are all mortal, unquote.
You know, that's just about to the day that we're in, isn't it?
That is
how
very,
many years
very
now?
Close.
61, 62, isn't it?
61.
61.
Yeah, 61 years. That's right. And that was a speech given at American University, I remember. And now, I have a few comments again. This is Lou speaking. Kennedy's profound words should deeply impact every human being on Earth. Nuclear war would be beyond horrific. The Deagle Report synopsis, projecting only about 25 million Americans left by 2025, could come into horrendous reality. Elizabeth and I remain firm in unbiased coverage of three factors in the Middle East turmoil. The unalterable biblical plan of God Almighty to rebuild Israel and maintain his everlasting covenant with their people. The NWO component of Israel's government that allowed a seven-hour stand-down before going after Hamas, just like the huge delay of jets from Virginia at the time of the inside job of 9/11, and the well-documented atrocities at Hamas, of Hamas and radical Islam, historical now, and even back at the time of Thomas Jefferson and the Marines routing out the Barbary pirates. For this reason, we distance ourselves from some patriots who do not present what Captain Darrell Everhart gives the divided kingdom credit for, balanced coverage of the Israel-Hamas situation. But now we must give credit for two broadcasters for their latest crucial to the continuation of our world broadcasts. As Elizabeth mentioned in her monologue, Hal Turner spoke out bravely on behalf of protecting his son from World War III. Now, on Monday night, June 17th, Turner played some very revealing clips of the NATO head, Jen Stoltenberg.
And I believe that's Jen's. Correct that later.
Yeah, Jen Stoltenberg's speaking out at a slip-up verbally.
And he was at some kind of a center.
Yes, I believe he was
there.
At the Wilson Center, I believe it is.
Okay.
It is. Stoltenberg actually said twice, quote, NATO pilots not, quote, Ukraine pilots, would be flying the F-16 fighters that Biden and company provided.
Let's repeat that one more time.
Yes, NATO pilots, not, quote, Ukraine pilots, would be flying the F-16 fighters that Biden and company provided. This slip-up happened as Jens called the pilots NATO-trained.
Now, that's another slip-up.
That's right.
They weren't Ukrainian-trained. They were NATO-trained.
That's right.
Now, that's the same, can we say, shadowy figure that has all those battle plans ready for the corridors that I read about in my opening radio monologue from that article by Cullen Linebarger. And you recall that you commented that that was not a defensive war strategy. They were on the offensive to have all those corridors lawlessly provided where troops could move forth. The American boys who would be put there by the thousands to go to the front lines and then opening that corridor via Scandinavia, I think, Finland, into Russia. So this is the same war force, the planner. We're at the office now of the NATO war planner, aren't we?
That's exactly right, yes. And Jen's words inadvertently told us NATO's real goal, to eventually enter and destroy Russia. Plaudits to Turner for this invaluable info. This was a very valuable history lesson that one might entitle NATO's Lies, beginning with the time of George Herbert Walker Bush, when his Secretary of State, James Baker, stated vociferously that NATO would not move a hair east toward Russia. The erosion began. As Bill Clinton took office soon after, his administration oversaw the NATO war on Yugoslavia, which broke up the country into Bosnia and Herzegovina. There was never any declaration of war in this process of the NATO bombings of Yugoslavia. The same night, Monday, June 17th, True News broadcaster Rick Wiles and Doc Burkhardt had a very vital, exhaustive analysis of bird flu preparation. But they also revealed that Putin is visiting North Korea to line up another ally. But NATO has been planning to break up Russia into as many as 200 states, the president of Poland claimed. Quote, Russia remains the largest colonial power of all, unquote. With all these lies and betrayals in the past from NATO, why wouldn't any country, even if it was Russia, want to defend its borders and very existence? When Newsweek states Russia may plan to strike fleets of American ships, we have to take notice. We will continue to pray for God to foil World War III and for Putin's summit drill not to escalate before Trump may retake the White House. And now to Elizabeth and the food situation.
Yes, and I think before we move to that, of course we hope to get to some of the Pride Month transgressions that are going on in our country, but things are so very serious that we have to have another prayer soon, Lou, from you and our listeners. And, of course, Hal Turner, I believe, speculated that a lot of our military installations, big ones, something like in Norfolk, Virginia, other places, they would be the first things hit. And you know, I said to you, probably they wouldn't hit D.C. immediately, and you told me why.
Well, that would, of course, cause retaliation against Moscow and St. Petersburg. Perhaps some other Russian cities.
The very top of the hierarchy,
yes,
in Russia. So they wouldn't be that stupid. They're not as stupid as our top leader is, bumbling us into complete nuclear devastation if Lucifer gets his way. So let's pray. Will you make a prayer and ask all of our Divided Kingdom listeners to pray with you, Lou?
Yes, we ask all of you to put down whatever you're doing and join us in a prayer. Almighty God, Lord Jesus, we just pray now that you will keep the heads of state looking to you for guidance And we ask that they have cool heads and not go off onto these adventures in which they seem to want to use the most dramatic and foolhardy weapons, strategies that could result in the world being plunged into a nuclear holocaust from which civilization would not recover, at least not for maybe 1,000 years. So we pray, O Lord, that cooler heads will prevail, that you'll work on these men and women to try to come to a peaceful settlement of their differences.
And may I interrupt, too, to add,
by all means,
Lord Jesus, we ask you for mercy for that remnant of sincere Christian believers, some of whom are listening at this very moment to this program, others who are spread out throughout the world. We know that we have listeners in Canada, and there must be other listeners in Africa, other places, who hear WWCR shortwave. We ask that you will restrain this hand of absolute havoc, and as Lou said, a destruction that the world could not recover from for more than 1,000 years. We ask for you to give Putin wisdom and patience, and give him the power, whether it be Trump back in, a repentant Trump into the White House, which is what we pray for. When he repents of Operation Warp Speed, God will use him if and when he repents of those little children and those other young men with the myocarditis and the ones who drop dead. When he repents, he may not be able to say he's repented, because then big money won't put him in. But after he's in, if he has repented, we hope and pray that he and Putin can work together, that God Almighty, God, the loving God who made this earth, this is my Father's world. All around me sings. We hear the birds this summer, the few that are there on the days that the chemtrails aren't there. They don't sing on the chemtrail days. But, Lord, we know this evil is temporary. You are going to come back, Lord Jesus Christ. You will gather your flock. And until then, you have asked us to stand in the gap. And we praise you, and we thank you for your healing. I personally, Elizabeth, thank the listeners for praying for my lung problems after that terrible pneumonia. Perhaps it was COVID. One doesn't know. But I know I'm being healed, and I'm standing upon that. And Lou being healed after the terrible problems he had last year with a surgeon who was undoubtedly a Christian, who gave him the expertise and the help to renew him. God is renewing us, because this is a time like none other. It's more dangerous than when JFK made those words, the various words that he said, and that Eisenhower said. They were looking ahead through the viewpoint, through the telescope of time to come. And Lord Jesus Christ, we know you can have mercy. You gave mercy at Nineveh. You gave mercy to Jonah and the whale. Nineveh had 50 more years. We plead for this. We plead for this, and we ask you to help America's reprobate mind end. We ask you to help the people repent in America. And Lou, would you go back to the prayer and complete it?
So we just ask for peace, Lord. We ask that wise men will take control and give us peace and not war, especially nuclear war. So we ask for your mercy, Lord, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And yes, because this program will be going out tomorrow night on 9.350 megahertz on WWCR at 7 p.m., we hope that we can at least acknowledge the things that we were going to talk about the Pride Month kickoff, too. And again, we're getting back now to this Earth Incorporated, a.k.a. Murder Incorporated. And this Murder Incorporated includes the plan of starvation. If we're not killed by nuclear war, we're going to have something else. So we had from CBS Channel 2 Idaho News, Ryan Oswald, June 13th, Idaho farmers face water curtailment, 500,000 acres at risk without New Deal. Groundwater users in eastern Idaho who had prior water claims to that of the surface water users breached the 2016 plan in 2021 and again in 2022. The governor, lieutenant governor, director of water resources, and representatives from both groundwater and surface water users are working to reach a new agreement before the ordered curtailment dries up an estimated 500,000 acres of farmland. The challenges eastern Idaho farmers are facing are complex and far from over. And that Channel 2 goes on talk about the issue. Is Idaho really struggling with lack of water? The Idaho Statesman's Adam Young says Idaho's reservoir system has, quote, completely filled. Bullet point, 200 billion gallons released to prevent flooding. Another bullet point, the state's rivers have swollen beyond their banks. Third bullet point, the snowpack is above average. Even so, the IDWR insists there is a water shortfall of 74,100 acre feet at one canal in the Magic Valley, deemed by the Idaho Department of Water Resources, the IDWR, as enough of a threat to turn off about 1 million acre feet of irrigation. And the article tells how farmers made efforts on their own to modernize, for instance, the Twin Falls Canal, only to have their offer rejected. The article quotes Young as wondering why the state is hostile to groundwater users and is inflicting massive curtailment in a year when water is abundantly plentiful. It is almost as if the powers that be in Idaho want to deprive the states, you see, to starve the farmers of water in order to create a food crisis. And then we had Natural News, I think, with the last word, June 12th. Here's the headline. Idaho government shuts down water for 500,000 acres of farmland in latest effort to engineer mass famine in America. If you see the farmers can't use groundwater, we wonder, well, what does that matter? Why? It's to irrigate the crops. And this is me, Elizabeth, telling you this. And that these 500,000 acres subject to containment represent about half of the groundwater acres in the Eastern Snake River Plain, which is a really big deal. And again, this is Natural News speaking, not only for Idaho, but also for the entire country, as these acres grow food for the nation. So with all of this going on, there is at least a little bit of good news. Sometimes people are standing up for the right, and we love Dr. Sherry Tenpenny so much. We interviewed her back in about 2006. I remember I was really sick with pneumonia, and we talked at that time about some crooked gold dealers, she and I, before we really broadcast the regular program, and she said she never trusted any kind of a gold corporation that held your money, you know, for you, held everything somewhere else. So I recall that a lot of water has gone over the dam. She had her medical establishment burned down. She wrote that first book about compulsory vaccination when there would be a pandemic and how true it all became. Well, at any rate, there's a little bit of justice here. Slay News, Frank Bergman, May 7th, 2024. Ohio doctor reinstated after being smeared as, quote, conspiracy theorist, stripped of medical license for COVID shot warnings. An Ohio doctor has had her medical license reinstated after it was stripped for raising concerns about the risks associated with COVID mRNA shots. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny drew national attention in 2021 when she told state legislators that COVID shots posed a risk to public health. Her warning led to an investigation by Ohio State Medical Board, and she was smeared as a, quote, conspiracy theorist. In August 2023, Tenpenny was stripped of her medical license over claims she was refusing to cooperate with the investigation. Finally, the Ohio State Medical Board has now voted to restore Tenpenny's license. However, the board ordered Tenpenny to pay a $3,000 fine and cooperate with investigators in return for her license being restored. Tenpenny, an osteopathic doctor, has been licensed in Ohio since 1984. She drew national attention in 2021 when she testified before a state legislative panel in support of a measure that would block vaccine requirements and mask mandates.
During her remarks, Tenpenny warned that COVID mRNA shots posed a risk of serious side effects and interfered with women's menstrual cycles. Roughly 350 complaints were soon filed about Tenpenny with the medical board. The board regulates physicians and can discipline them for making, quote-unquote, false or, quote, deceptive, unquote, medical statements. A probe was launched, but Tenpenny refused to meet with investigators, answer written questions, or comply with a subpoena ordering her to sit for a deposition. Tenpenny's license was suspended in August 2023 on procedural grounds for failing to cooperate with the investigation. Her attorney had told the board she wouldn't participate in an, quote, illegal fishing expedition, unquote. The board has now voted 7-2 to restore her license, with proponents saying she has met the requirements for reinstatement. Tenpenny announced the reinstatement in a post on X. Quote, standing strong and steadfast, she wrote. Thank you for all your unwavering love and support, but most importantly, for your prayers during these challenging times, unquote.
And is that it, Lou?
There's a little bit more.
Oh, go ahead.
The news comes as increasing numbers of doctors are now speaking out to warn of the dangers of COVID injections. Just last month, a Provax doctor admitted that he was wrong to recommend the shots to his patients and expressed deep regret, as Slay News reported. Dr. Ciafia Norton issued a heartfelt apology to his patients and followers for his role in administering the shots. Dr. Norton joined several other prominent medical professionals who have U-turned on the COVID shots, including Dr. Drew, Dr. Asim Malhotra, Dr. John Campbell, Professor Angus Dalgleish, and more. Additionally, mounting evidence has emerged to support links between COVID shots and cancer, immunity deficiency, heart failure, blood clots, and sudden deaths. As Slate News reported last week, a leading immunologist expert is now warning everyone who has been vaccinated with the COVID mRNA shots that they will, quote, die within 3 to 5 years, even if they have had only one injection. The alert was issued by Professor Dr. Dolores Cahill. Professor Cahill's over 25 years of expertise in high-throughput protein array, antibody array, proteomics technology development, and automation. In another explosive statement, meanwhile, Bill Gates, former vaccine advisor, has blown the whistle to warn of a coming wave of, quote, unprecedented deaths, unquote, among the vaccinated, as Slay News reported. Former Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation scientist and vaccine expert, Dr. Geert van den Bosch, has warned that populations around the world will soon experience a, quote, completely unprecedented plunge, unquote. Bosch predicts that the death toll will be up to 30-40% in highly vaccinated countries. And that's the end of that article.
Very important. And then again, we are going to get into the bird flu. Again, we had information there from True News, and it was very interesting to you and me, Lou, because we were getting sick of some of these patriots, like even Alex Jones, beginning to say there was no virus and it was a hoax, it was this, it was that, and then we get into that odd germ theory, in which anybody with any common sense can see that there are diseases that are contagious. It isn't just your own body, like David Icke's, the weirdo, says. No, there is something that transmits from people to people. So at any rate, we were sort of told there was nothing. The COVID itself was nothing. We knew that Dr. Judy Mikovits said there were mouse leukemia viruses in it, so there was some kind of virus, mammalian virus component to it. Well, it was interesting to you and me to hear Rick Wiles say it wasn't nothing. He said it almost killed me. And he said it was the worst thing I ever went through. Now, that was COVID itself. Then we have the COVID vaccination. We have a plumber who had Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So far, he seems okay. But his wife had COVID. Then the medical establishment cajoled her into taking a Moderna shot. And then she almost died in the hospital, fought for her life day after day after day. So at any rate, Rick Wiles and Doc Burkhardt brought out the facts that the bird flu has been worked on since 2012 with the gain of function, and that if they succeed with it, it might have a 50% kill rate compared to something like 0.026 for COVID. So we really know that we need a lot of prayer, and we need people to bring out the truth. And we will be getting in to Pride Month, because this is the reprobate mind. God wants repentance and adherence to his biblical laws before he will stop World War III. We had LifeSite News here, Calvin Freeburger, Friday, May 20th, 2024. Federal court rejects parental challenge to Maryland school district's pro-LGBT reading list. Parents do not have a right to opt their children out of pro-LGBT public school lessons in Montgomery County, Maryland. According to a ruling issued May 17th by the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, Montgomery County Public Schools announced in March 2023 that it would mandate a list of LGBT reading materials for children in kindergarten through fifth grade as part of its English language arts curriculum. Among the listed books were Prince and Knight, a fairy tale about a male knight and a prince who fall in love and get, quote, married. A book on 50 LGBTQ plus historical figures titled Rainbow Revolutionaries. And the pro-transgender story, Born Ready, the true story of a boy named Penelope. The district initially allowed parents to opt their children out of reading the books, but soon reversed itself, asserting an expectation that teachers utilize these inclusive lessons and texts with all students in the name of fostering, quote, inclusive and safe spaces for students. A group of parents sued. And you see now, we see what happened. The federal court rejects the parental challenge. Repent, America. Oh, America, repent. Good night.